Hey, Jay, I got something to host. Where do I host it?
Why, on HostGator, of course. They offer 99.9% uptime and have 24/7, 365 customer support.
Wow, if only I can kick back some of that money to my favorite gaming podcast, Blood and Barrel.
Not only can you do that, but you can save yourself some money in the process.
Tell me how.
Use the checkout code EBPODCAST9 and save 25% off your first order.
Wow, and I still hate you. Do you want to hear the lyrics I've been working on for the Fire Emblem theme?
Go for it.
Oh, Fire Emblem, together we'll defeat them. A sword cannot cut through the ties and bonds of friendship. Field of Glory, write an epic story. That's what I got so far. That's pretty good. You liked it and you know it.
It rhymed.
It did indeed. Damn it. Hello, welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast on this January 23rd night, 2013. This is Mike Minai. I'm joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Time of day that time.
Yeah, I think it's nice. Because we usually do this pretty late, really.
Yeah.
I always feel bad. Cause, like, wait, I say the day we record it, but usually, like, it goes up pretty late at the night. It does. Hey, we're doing this in our spare time. Yeah. We got a lot of news today. So there's a lot of news. A lot of Nintendo stuff. THQ got sold all over the place. We got some high-profile demos to talk about. That's going to last us for a while. Then we'll have the releases. So let's get to it, though. There's a lot of news. A lot of exciting news.
Yeah, well, let's start with the Nintendo stuff.
Nintendo,
so basically, Iwata came on Nintendo Direct today and was like, oh, what's that? You said the Wii U doesn't have a lot of software coming? Wait, hang on. I got something in my nose. Oh, fuck you!
Yeah. Honestly, this Nintendo Direct was more exciting than their, like, goddamned E3 press conference.
Yeah. Well, I missed it. Forgot it was even going on.
I didn't watch it live. I didn't either. I, like, got home just when,
like,
it happened.
You woke me up.
Yeah,
I was ranting, like, and raving. And I was like, wait, what's going on? Who's making Wind Waker? Am I still dreaming?
Right.
So that's, I guess, for us, the big one.
It's a big one for a lot of people.
Wind Waker HD. And what?
I mean, as far as HD things go, this is huge.
Well, it's not just we took the GameCube game, put in some gamepad stuff.
They're calling it a remake,
doing it from scratch, it seems like.
Almost, yeah.
Like, the art style and the screenshots, it almost looks like it's between Wind Waker and Skyward Sword.
Because, like, in Wind Waker, everything was a lot of solid colors.
It was flatter looking.
Right, there's a bit more texture.
Yeah, a little more depth. Like, the lighting on the characters looked really natural.
Yeah.
But fucking Wind Waker in HD.
Yeah, that's the point. It's HD Wind Waker. It's going to have functionality with the gamepad. And it'll also have the remote play. Yes, please.
Yeah.
I wonder. I still wonder if there's going to be any way to implement my dream of, like, using a Wiimote as the Wind Waker. Could you? I mean, why not? Can you sync a Wiimote,
like,
to it?
Yeah, just keep it, like, up next to you.
That'd be so fucking cool. Like, what if you, like, to use the Wind Waker, grab the Wiimote and push the A button?
That'd be amazing.
man.
Don't get your hopes up, because I don't think Nintendo would think that much.
But either way,
so that's coming in the fall.
That's my favorite Zelda game. It might be Nintendo's best single player game ever. I don't know, Super Metroid, maybe one of the Mario Galaxies would be up there too.
But Skyward Sword up there too. It's close.
Yeah, I like Skyward Sword 2 a lot, but I like Wind Waker a little bit more. So.
Honestly,
saying before on this show,
one of the things I like best about Wind Waker is its brevity. It doesn't overstay its welcome.
No, not really. It's because it's missing two. What if they re-add those two dungeons?
That'd be interesting, I guess.
What if there's? Oh man, but I mean, we've been saying on this show, like, we want Wind Waker HD for Wii U. They actually did it. Yeah. I did not think they would, but there it is.
It's funny because they've said we're making, like, a full blown Wii U Zelda, but it's gonna take a while. So we'll give you this in the meantime.
And even just a couple of things they said about their design philosophy about the new Zelda was really exciting.
Yeah, like, they want it to be, like, less linear.
Like, they said, it's like, remember how he said in Skyward Sword, we like the fact that they question a lot of the Zelda staples?
Like, they're just continuing.
They're doing that more. Like, they're saying, like, why do you have to go through dungeons in an order?
Well, he said they wanted to do that in Skyward Sword, but they didn't.
Well, because it is hard, because there is this sort of Zelda thing of, like, collecting the items in order.
It was weird the way he said it. It's like, we were going to do this for Skyward Sword, but we didn't do it for Skyward Sword. Like he had no reason why they didn't.
Well, the
like,
development time, probably. But he also said maybe multiplayer?
I don't know about
that. What are the chances that the next Zelda is a full-blown MMO? Give me the over-under. No chance?
No.
I think I don't know if it'd be
maybe
a good
like something like Monster Hunter-esque, where you just get four people in a game together.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much I would really want. If there is multiplayer component, I hope it's not much more than, like... I hope it's not, like, the game, you know? Yeah, I hope it's not the whole point. Like, right. You better play this with three people or else you're missing out.
Yeah.
But that stuff's cool. So what else, AJ?
A new 3D Mario from the Galaxy team.
I mean, we've been saying, like, these guys are obviously doing it, but I'm excited. So what do you think? Is it, like, Mario Galaxy 3 or is it something else?
It's gonna be. If it was Galaxy 3, I feel like that would have said it.
Okay. So, but, like, what do you... So what is it just, like, going to have a really strong theme or is it Mario... See, the problem is if it's Super Mario Universe, the theming would essentially be the same. I mean, it's still intergalactic. So
yeah,
you can't really
I don't
do
know.
That.
Maybe you bring it back to the Mushroom Kingdom in some new, unique way. It's obviously going to have some kind of really strong interplay between TV and gamepad.
I will say that's what I like about Sunshine and Galaxy, though. Both of them, you kind of get away from the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah, in a way.
That's kind of the problem with like new Wii U. It's like, oh, the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah, here's the desert level with the same song
and everything.
Yeah, I know
everything
what you
has
mean.
Eyes. And yeah. You know, you've been there. That's kind of what's refreshing. But I don't know, maybe you can kind of go back. Like, if you do, like, if they try to do, like, okay, now we're going to do, like, Mario 64 2, something kind of like that again, it would be
pretty
cool to see. But those guys make pretty good games.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
I'm far more confident in that team than
most others.
than, like, the 2D Mario team. Well, these are the guys who, they originally were the guys behind Donkey Kong Jungle Beat.
Yeah.
The Congo the Congo platformer, which was actually really good.
Yeah.
So these guys are innovative.
They know what's up.
They're a good studio.
They also said new Mario Kart for the Wii U.
Yeah, they said new Mario specifically that it'll be at E3.
Yeah, Mario 3D and Mario Kart
and
will be at E3.
If these things are gonna be at E3, I feel like they're gonna be
holiday 2030.
Those will be their let's just say right now, because they said that Wind Waker will be out by fall. So this fall, if the Wii U has the Wind Waker HD, the new 3D Mario, and Mario Kart, that's pretty good.
That's pretty damn good.
That's a good fall for the Wii U. And I think that's... And honestly, it's a lot like the 3DS, where it's like it kind of was like, okay. And then all of a sudden, they had literally like the same thing, where you had a 3D Mario, a Mario Kart, and
a Zelda
re-release. And it helped.
Wait a minute. That means there's going to be a price drop in
July. It's literally the same exact thing, actually. As I was saying that, I was realizing
it. Wait a minute. It all makes sense now.
Right.
They promised info on Smash Brothers at E3 with screens.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully we get some character announcements and stuff.
We have a new game in the form of Yoshi, or Yarn Yoshi, it's called.
I don't think there's not really a name for it.
Yeah.
But it's the Kirby's Epic Yarn guys. They're basically making a yarn game with Yoshi now.
Yeah, but it's in full 3D.
Right, it's not like outlines. It looks cool, and it, you know.
Kind of has like a little Big Planet aesthetic if I had to compare it to.
Yeah, and it's cool because we haven't had a real 2D Yoshi game since Yoshi's, well, I guess just Yao and DS. They kind of forgot about that. Yeah. But I'm down for that.
Let's see. Some other games they mentioned. A Shin Megami Tensei Fire Emblem crossover.
That's pretty cool. I assume it's going to be like a strategy game.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The Xenoblade guys are doing a new game.
I saw a little bit like the video for it. It looks pretty cool.
So, is there any other games I missed that we need to talk about?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, they announced the Virtual Console for the Wii U. Kind of good, kind of weird. So, it's going to have like the 3DS Virtual Console that you can like create restore points. You can rebind the controls however you want, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have Nintendo, Super Nintendo games to start, eventually Game Boy Advance games. The only thing it rubs me the wrong way a little bit is if you already bought a Virtual Console game on the Wii and you have that transfer to your Wii U, you have to rebuy it, but you get it at a discount. $1 for a Nintendo game, $1.50 for a Super Nintendo game.
Is there anything for, like, let's say I bought like Fire Emblem Sacred Stones on my Game Boy, on like the Game Boy Advance game on my 3DS?
Probably not.
That's kind of weird.
But, I mean, they could have given it to you for free, but they are charging you.
Yeah. But at the same time, they could have also charged you full price.
I guess.
It's almost like a fine, you know?
It's just like a gate tax, like move it from like the Wii emulation.
Right.
Onto, like, was it really that much more work to emulate it onto the game? I don't know. But that's happening. Apparently Balloon Fight's out now, and it's 30 cents.
Yeah, there's like they're releasing like one game every month for 30 cents or something.
Yeah, in May is Super Metroid.
Ooh.
Also in the spring will be a software update for the Wii U that'll make load times faster. There'll be another one in the summer.
That's good.
And they're also bringing the Miiverse to smartphones in the spring. So spring is going to be all kind of crazy stuff.
Right. Is that everything then?
I think so.
Overall, big day for Nintendo.
Yeah, right.
I feel a lot better about my Wii U right now.
Yeah.
To be honest, so that's pretty cool. All
right. I still want them to say, though, that there's going to be a way to transfer Nintendo IDs to another system. That's kind of important to me right now. Just saying. THQ, they're done. Dissolved. No more.
Man, that's crazy, huh?
Yeah, everyone kind of, I thought the way they were going to do their bankruptcy organization.
You thought somebody would just buy THQ?
No, I thought it was going to allow them to kind of catch their breath and come back a bit.
No.
Didn't work. So they auctioned off all the studios and IPs. I have a breakdown of who went, like, what stuff went where for how much and who's the backup bidder. So Relic Entertainment, who makes Company of Heroes and the Company of Heroes franchise, went to Sega.
That's a good fit, I think.
I think so.
Because I think of Shogun, like Total
War,
you
exactly.
know? I think that's a good fit.
26.6 million. The backup bidder was ZeniMax at 26.3.
Yeah, I can see that also.
They didn't want to get out that extra 0.4 million.
I don't even know if you're allowed to know what the other person bid.
That's true. That could
I don't know how it works.
Yeah. THQ Montreal, who makes 1666 and Underdog, they went to Ubisoft for 2.5. Evolve, a.k.a. Metamorphosis. I don't even know what that is. But it went for $10.894 million to Take-Two, so it was lucrative.
Who are these guys?
I don't even know. I don't know if that's a game or a studio or what.
It's a studio. Ugh, your thing doesn't have like what they make.
It doesn't for that particular one.
I remember reading this. I remember thinking, oh, these guys make that, and I can't remember.
I mean, the backup was Turtle Rock Studios at $250,000, so not even close. Mm. Now, this is interesting. Volition and the Saints Row franchise, which is kind of big. Mm. Went to Koch Media for $22.3 million.
Who's Koch Media?
They're like a kind of smaller independent publisher.
Weird.
This is kind of a big purchase for them.
Right.
I mean, it's clear, like, because the backup was Ubisoft at 5.5. I can't believe no one else really wanted
that was one of the bigger ones.
A lot of people
there.
Speculated that EA might want Saints Row because they don't really have an open-world game like that. The Homefront franchise went to Crytek for $500,000. The Metro franchise also went to Koch for $5.8 million. And Ubi was right behind them at 5.2. South Park went to Ubisoft, and it was only $3.3
million.
Hmm. I feel like that's weird. Unbeknownst is what's going on with Vigil Games and the Darksiders franchise. Nothing's happened there.
I thought that they were already getting laid off. I heard they just weren't bought. I thought that's what
it's
I read.
A shame, because that franchise, man, they still got two more horsemen.
Yeah.
WWE also is rumored to be going to Take-Two, but nothing was officially set.
Someone's going to be picking.
Yeah, that'll go. Even if it's like reborn at another developer and like they make something from scratch, which I think could actually be good. So, yeah, that's it.
Well, the problem is like they're already working on the next WWE game. That's how that, you know, stuff works.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, it's bizarre. There's no more THQ. Well, one down.
Atari also is filing for bankruptcy and selling off all of its IP.
What IP says Atari own anymore?
Pong?
No, it's not that Atari, though.
No, it is.
Oh, really? I thought it was like the company that just bought the Atari name.
The assets include Pong, Asteroids, Centipede, Missile Command, Tempest, Test Drive, and more.
Well, those don't really have much value anymore.
They want to break away from their French parent company and rebirth themselves as a mobile publisher?
Oh.
This is their way of doing it, I guess.
I see.
All right. StarCraft II, Heart of the Swarm, cinematic trailer. Did you see it?
Yeah, it was pretty. It was cool.
You know, it's the first time a gnome has been in a Blizzard cinematic.
And where's the gnome?
You're in the first-person view of the one attack ship thing. It's like there's a thing dangling on the rearview mirror.
Oh, really?
It's a gnome.
That's funny. It's definitely very pretty. The Blizzard definitely does this stuff better than anybody else.
True.
And I'll compare it directly to the next one. Right? Your next, right? I assume that we're talking about that next?
Yeah, in a second.
Okay. What else did you want to say?
I was going to say, did you read about the gameplay details?
No.
So, Kerrigan is going to be in every mission.
Yeah. But you didn't beat Wings of Liberty.
No.
So you don't really know what happens at the end, huh?
No, so I don't, but I just know this vague information.
Right.
Basically, you're leveling her up like a hero unit throughout the whole game.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Also, remember how Blizzard All-Stars was supposed to come with this?
Yeah.
No, it's apparently not. because they're like, well, other MOBA games use a different model, and we should do that. So I'm guessing it means it's going to be a free-to-play game with microtransactions.
I'm sure. Probably smarter.
Yeah. So, yeah, the other cinematic was the Elder Scrolls Online intro cinematic.
This is kind of weird to me.
Well, it's a problem I have with a lot of MMO intros. Like, it's cool, but I know I'm not going to be doing anything like that in the game. Like, if I have a guy who's running on extending rope bridges and swinging around and doing all that cool shit, game of the fucking century, I mean, if they actually do
the
that.
The weird thing about it is, like, Elder Scrolls games never have these CG things.
Right.
So when you see it, like, I don't think, it doesn't feel Elder Scrolls-y. It kind of feels like a Warcraft sort of thing.
Yeah.
Except, and it does something like a lot of these CG things do, where, like, everybody's like a goddamn superhero acrobat.
Yeah.
They're all flipping around and like doing this stuff.
Everyone does the backwards bend as the weapon goes over their head.
Exactly. And that stuff just kind of annoys me. Also, there's no Argonians or Khajiit. The cynic in me thinks that's because those are harder to render than humans and elves.
Yeah, they got fur and shit.
Yeah, so, but, I mean, I don't know. It was fine. But, like I said, like, it's like these things are almost too excessive. Like, I like Blizzard because, like, the scale is big, but it's never, like, ridiculous in a way. Like, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's fine, but there's no real point. I mean, it doesn't really say anything, but, like, it almost seems like a waste of money to me.
The end of the trailer said beta signups are live.
I did sign up for the beta. I mean,
me too.
I don't know about that.
I mean,
I'm hey,
still...
the Star Wars, remember there's, like, four, like, amazing CG things for Star Wars The Old Republic?
Yeah.
Two of them, like, yeah, some of them were just never in the game. They just literally made them for promotional purposes.
Right.
That's weird to me.
Yeah.
Really expensive commercial.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta get the word out, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So Dragon Age 3, well, as we know, is running on the Frostbite engine.
So make this one look good.
Well, that's what they basically said, like, yeah, we're pretty disappointed with how 2 turned out. Like, the artists were upset that, like, the engine couldn't handle what they were trying to do, I guess.
Oh, really?
They also said that it's not going to be, like, desaturated in brown.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's exciting.
We'll see. Fool me once, fool me twice, fool me thrice.
Okay. Remember this?
Actually, I liked Dragon Age 1.
Oh, Dragon Age 1 is fantastic.
It's just ugly. It's an ugly game. It's just mad aesthetically.
So remember this Project X Zone?
Yeah, what?
It's a crossover RPG with characters from Sega, Namco, and Capcom.
Yeah, yeah.
It's coming to America.
Oh, yeah. So what is it like a Fire Emblem kind of thing?
I don't know.
I think
you have like two characters who are in a pair, but then you also have a solo character who assists. I really don't know much about the game.
I mean, I saw X and Zero fighting like somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not localizing the voice acting though.
Yeah. Which probably fine. Whatever.
Puts it squarely in niche territory.
Yeah.
That's probably
sure.
fine.
They know what they're making.
Yeah. Kojima originally envisioned Gray Fox as the star of Metal Gear Rising.
Yeah, that kind of sounds cool. Oh, well.
My thing with Raiden anymore, we've seen him now in 3 games. He's been a completely different character.
Yeah.
Like, there is no character of Raiden.
Well, there isn't. They don't really...
He's just whatever
he's kind
they
of
need
a,
him to be.
Yeah, he's not a good character. He's definitely... He's not annoying anymore. I mean...
No.
He's definitely... Maybe he's becoming, like, a better character each time, but... Yeah,
like the Raiden in Revengeance is nothing like the Raiden 2.
Yeah, or in 4 even. No, you're right. I mean, that just shows how kind of poorly designed the character is.
Mm-hmm. Now this is weird. So Gas Powered Games start a Kickstarter, then lay off most of their staff, and then Chris Taylor in the like a video on the Kickstarter page was like, I don't know, guys, like should we just cancel the Kickstarter or like. If the Kickstarter is successful, we could, like, hire everyone back. And everyone, like, kind of the reaction was, wait a minute, are you, like, holding people's jobs hostage with a Kickstarter? Like, it's kind of weird.
What the hell?
Yeah, like, didn't you know a week ago when you started this Kickstarter that you were about to fire, like, 90% of the company?
The Kickstarter thing is weird sometimes.
Yeah, it's getting out of hand, I think.
It's kind of nuts. It was a cute story when we had the Double Fine Adventure thing.
You know when Kickstarter works to me? In a game like FTL, where it's like two guys.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're a studio with like an HR staff, I don't think you need Kickstarter.
Well, that's what Double Fine did, though.
I know, and that's still weird to me.
You think maybe, like, I think that was fun when they did it, and now maybe we don't want that to happen anymore?
I kind of do.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the Banner Saga, which is a game I back. It's like six guys in a shack somewhere making this game. That's cool. Like, you know, like I said, if you have...
Well, the thing with the Ron Gilbert's games was, like, he literally couldn't get funding for it otherwise. He said he had to go crowdfunding.
Yeah.
I guess I get that. I don't know. It's a weird thing. It's ugly. Yes.
The saga of Two Human has finally reached its epicenter. Or climax, or I don't know, whatever word I want there.
But we're only one third through the trilogy.
It's been pulled from Xbox Live.
Oh, no. Yeah, because it has copy code from somebody else.
Yeah, well, remember they, like, ordered all the physical copies recalled, so they had to delete it off the digital service, too.
Oh, God.
I wonder if this is going to become, like, a rare collectible now.
Too human.
They added a cool-sounding mode to Dota 2 called Least Played Mode. Where if you're playing in that mode, it forces you to play with a character you never play as.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It could be a kind of a nice equalizer, too.
Yeah, I can see that. That's kind of neat.
That's a smart idea. I bet everyone else will do that as well.
Yes.
And finally, I usually don't do rumors like this, but I just thought, like, I wanted to talk about the implications of it. There's a rumor that Monster Hunter 4, which is we know is coming to 3DS, will also come out to Vita.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't shock me.
But, like,
it would be weird because it would be the first time we have, like, this cross release for this series, right? On the both platforms.
I just wonder what kind of deal Nintendo and Capcom have. Like, would Nintendo even allow that if it was in their power?
Well, if it's in their power, they probably wouldn't. Yeah. If it's happening, it's because it's not in their power.
Good point.
So, we'll see.
So, I just wonder, like, so if you're going to play Monster Hunter, would you be more worried about it being in 3D? Or being on a bigger screen with dual analog sticks?
Probably the former. But a lot of people have 3DSs and don't have Vitas.
Yeah,
now all of a sudden the thing is, well, I have a 3DS already, so I can still play the game. So I guess I don't need to buy a new system.
Yeah, but keep in mind, like, Monster Hunter sold a lot of PSPs.
Yeah, but that's because you had to have a PSP to play it.
Yeah.
You don't anymore. If this is true.
Is it, like, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with me. I've tried to get into this series so many times. And I kind of want to play the Wii U version.
Yeah, I don't know why you keep wanting to try it.
I feel like I should like it.
I don't.
You like and it. Three friends go into a field and fight giant dinosaurs. That sounds awesome. And every time you look at it, it looks like Phantasy Star Online, which is a game I really liked.
I mean, it is kind of like Phantasy Star Online. It's just, I don't know. I can't get into
it. I think my biggest thing is it's all like counting frames and countering. Like, it's like, yeah, just let me hit shit. All right, that's what I got.
All righty, we'll talk about Rising.
You mean Revengeance?
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance?
I think it's just Metal Gear Revengeance, isn't it?
No, it's Metal Gear Rising. Yeah.
Didn't the title change like twice? Yeah, no,
it was Metal Gear Rising, now it's Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Ah, okay.
Anyways, I've been talking a lot of shit about this game. Played the demo. It was actually kind of fun. It's still kind of stupid, but it was more fun than I thought it would be. I'm not, like, totally against it.
Well, it does one thing very smart, where it's not like...
It's not like...
It's not the Japanese action game of, like, here's a list of combos.
Right, it's not God of War, which is kind of what I was worried about.
I'm also glad, too, that, like, they put some finesse into the whole cut-em-up mode, where if you can slice the guy at the right point in the torso, you then hit the circle button, and you can snatch life from him.
That is pretty cool technology, that whole cutting thing. It works, it's cool.
And I'll talk about this, too, with DMC, which I played that demo, too, but... I just wonder, does that sustain a 10-hour game? Like, could I do that for 10 hours and not get bored?
How it kind of evolves. I will say that there's, like, one boss fight in the game. The boss fight was pretty cool. Well, and it was very
the game
parrying.
Did a very piss-poor job of explaining defending and parrying.
Shut up.
It didn't. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying, did it explain it to you?
No, but I don't want everything goddamn explained to me. You figured it out. Look, it's like if you parry too soon, then the boss got deflected off of you. If you parried, like, right at the right moment, then he was, like, kind of stunned in front of you so you can follow up with the counter. That's fine. I like learning that stuff organically.
All right.
That's okay.
Well, it tried to tell you. I just feel like the way it was trying to tell you only confused us.
Like, the things that bother me still, it's like... The game is clearly not as good looking as Metal Gear Solid 4. The environments look pretty good. The frame rate is good, just like the character models, though. Especially the way the character models are animated.
In the codec calls.
Well, the codec calls, I don't know
they're
what that is.
Just animated loop.
That's kind of crazy, because Metal Gear Solid 2 had, like, actual lip-sync. Animated. Yeah, I don't understand what that is. I hope that's just a demo thing.
Also, they changed the codec call sound.
Yeah, whatever. But, like...
It really strangely bothered me.
It seemed to be, like, interrupting the action for cutscenes just as much as a normal Metal Gear game. Which is kind of, like, I know that's like Metal Gear thing, like cutscenes, but it's kind of a problem. It's a bigger problem in an action game because you kind of have this adrenaline. You kind of want to keep going.
Yeah,
and you're
like
getting interrupted.
Like, clear an arena and then watch a cutscene. And clear an arena and watch
a
cutscene.
Like, let me go. I want to fight things.
Yeah.
You know what? It was almost more Ninja Gaiden than like God of War. You know?
You
can see that.
Like I said, just without the button combos.
Well, Ninja Gaiden isn't that dependent on the button combos either. That's why I made that.
Yeah, it was.
Ninja Gaiden was much more about parrying and finesse.
Yeah, there's button combos, too.
Yeah, I know, but that wasn't as important. I'm sure there are button combos. I'm sure, like, pushing square and triangle in different orders, does combos. Just doesn't really matter. But it actually was kind of fun. That's my point.
Yeah.
I'm slightly interested to play the full game now, actually.
So you want me to talk about DMC?
Yeah, because I've been hearing a lot of good things, except for a couple really hardcore DMC fans who are upset still.
Yeah, and I never liked the old Devil May Cry games that much, so I don't care about their opinion.
All right.
What I like about this game, like I said, it's kind of like the create your own combo thing, but it has more options than Revengeance does, because basically you have a range attack, a melee attack, and your launch attack, and then holding down either the left or right triggers shifts that into either like an angel mode or devil mode, where basically now everything gets remapped.
Mm-hmm.
So your range attacks become a grapple that, if you're in angel mode, pull you to something, and in devil mode, pull it to you. So you can create like really cool combos where you're like, you launch something in the air and then pull yourself up to it and then kick it around and then pull it back to you and hit it some more.
That sounds cool.
And it's, you know, it's organic. You're just kind of making it up as you go.
What's the tone of the game like? Because that's always kind of bothered me in the other games.
Yeah. I don't, like, everyone's like, oh, hipster Dante, blah, blah. He was always a hipster. Like, the character seems, as far as I can tell, much the same as he's ever been.
Which I never really found that appealing, but whatever.
It doesn't bother me. It fit the character, I thought. What I found disconcerting is when you play the demo, there's, like, the level you can play and then a boss fight that's, like, just kind of its thing. So you get to this demon that probably boasts how it's, like, 1,200 years old or something. When you walk up to it, it comes out of its little pus-filled thing and just goes, "Who the fuck are you?"
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So they kind of go back and forth a little bit, and after Dante like doesn't have anything else to say, he just goes, "Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you." And I was like, who got paid to write that?
It's always annoys me when like the scripts just have way too many expletives.
Yeah.
Like, it's like just lazy. It's just kind of awkward. It's like, okay, I get it.
So yeah, that was weird. But like, the boss fight was super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, there's like platforming in the game that uses the grapples and stuff. That's fun.
Some people seem annoyed by the lack of a lock-on.
I'll tell you what, it bothered me more in Metal Gear than it did in this.
Metal Gear has a lock-on, though.
Yeah, and like, it's like auto, but not...
I don't know.
I
noticed you were having trouble with it.
Yeah, DMC's was fine. I never had any problem hitting what I wanted to hit.
Mm. Fair enough.
Again, it's just... do I want to do that for 10 hours? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like those games just don't have enough variety anymore.
I don't know. I can still get through. Like, I can get through a God of War game. It helps that they're usually shorter.
Yeah.
Like, I could do like 8 hours of that. Then I'm kind of done. All right. One more, right?
The demo for Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem Awakening for the Grace. All right.
Aww.
Now listen, I've been reviewing this game. And I've been playing a lot of it. I can't really say much. You can say whatever you want about the demo, because you haven't played it for. I will say, I like it a lot. Now go on. I will comment about anything you bring up in the demo.
Okay, so the demo is just—it's so damn short. It's just two battles. But so, as someone who's enjoyed all the previous Fire Emblems on the Game Boy Advance, was there one for the DS?
Yeah, I never actually got around to that one. It was like a remake of the original one.
That's right.
Never got to it for some reason.
Did I? I can't even fucking remember. Anyway. Especially kind of coming off of XCOM, where it's like, oh, yeah, these games. The game is so good-looking. Like, this is some of the best stuff Nintendo's produced from a visual standpoint.
It does.
It's kind of like, oh, okay.
The CG cutscenes look really... it almost looks kind of like... It's like that CG anime thing. It looks really good.
Yeah, and it's in 3D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The 3D is pretty nice in this
game. Yeah, well, the 3D is great because when you're looking at this field, the field's a 3D map with 2D sprites on it, but they're like still in three-dimensional depth.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom screen shows all your combat information, you know, the numbers for all the attacks and everything. And I was always worried about this because the games always had these really great sprite animations that where the battles played out. So now it's done with 3D models, and they look good.
Yeah, I was always worried about that too, but yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, the camera's dynamic, the 3D's fun.
You can even like go into a first-person mode if you want to.
Yeah, which was a little disorienting, but
funny.
It works, it's there. The game has this great mechanic that they introduced to this series where standing adjacent to a unit does a bunch of different things. you know, like, it'll power you up, so, like, you'll increase your hit chance or your
is
dodge
this new,
chance.
Is that, I need to research, is that new to this
it's
one?
It's not in, it's not in Sacred Stones.
Because there's a couple of those, there's, like, that GameCube one and the Wii one. I wonder if, I played a little bit of each of those, but I didn't play enough to remember if that was in there or not.
Yeah.
I need to, like, research the history of these mechanics.
Yeah.
But so I think, like, this is new.
But that's cool, and then,
It becomes, I can't say.
Well, that. You, I could see every time you do attacks, the little hearts go up next to the guys, so I'm assuming this is how you increase their relationships. Maybe I'm right. So, like, it's got that whole thing going for it. And the other thing I noticed, too, like, if you play in a normal mode, I thought it was, like, really easy. So I went back and played it in the intermediate mode.
Mm.
The challenge was about where I wanted it to be, and it actually changes the interface. It gets it gives you more information. It's harder to parse through if you don't know it, but I did, so I liked it. I'll probably play this on the intermediate.
You think? I'm pretty happy with normal mode. I don't know.
I don't know. I might.
Because, well, you actually even have the option of, because Fire Emblem is famous for if a character dies, they're dead.
Yeah, well, and that's a choice now.
That's the point. That's the choice.
Classic mode or whatever they call it.
Yeah, it's just casual mode, yeah. Where if a person dies, they're just gone for that battle, which I think is kind of defeating the point.
Yeah.
But, like, that's basically how I, quote, lose, is, like, a character will die, and I don't let that happen. I have to restart the game, which has still happened a fair amount of time for me.
Uh-huh.
So I don't mind playing it on normal mode. It's been pretty cool. Yeah. What about the music? Music's really good.
Music's great. And I like the...
It's just, like, it's like the presentation is really good.
Yeah, I'm really excited. 3DS game. One thing that's not in the demo, you can't do any character customization. I want to see what all the options there are.
What do you, like, oh, for your...
Like, you know, your hair, your...
Oh, that stuff. It's not like a... I don't really... there weren't, like... Oh, I can't even say this stuff, can I? I don't know. Yeah, sure. Oh, but I can't wait till next week to talk about this, because I really am... So I am liking it a lot. It's mad. Really cool.
Like I said, I've been playing the Sacred Stones for the Game Boy Advance, because it's one of my ambassador games.
Right.
It's like, I'm jonesing for it so bad.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, wait, if you want to hear me gush about Fire Emblem, wait for next week.
Okay.
Let's see, actual games. I beat Ratchet and Clank.
How's that?
It's, like I said, it's a really good game. It's held up really well. Final boss is pretty cool, actually.
Huh.
I don't know if I'm going to start going Commander right away, if I want to maybe do the first Jack and Daxter now on this PS2 platformer kick. Maybe I'll get the Ratchet and, I mean, the Sly Cooper ones next.
There you go.
But I was really impressed, really, with how well that game held up and how great of an HD remake transfer or whatever that was.
Very cool.
Did you play anything significant?
No.
No? All right.
Temple Run 2.
Yeah,
fucking Temple Run.
Get those up.
Oh, I do.
Because I know you probably don't have them.
Yeah,
up,
you're right. I forgot.
Because you always forget.
Oh, I do not. Oh, yeah. Our Google Plus community thing, too.
Oh, right.
I'm just still not used to that being in the show, and my web browser just crashed.
Awesome, Magic Guy.
So, Vamp for a second. Vamp.
Vamp? Like that vampire from Metal Gear Solid 2 that I hate.
Yeah, who's totally not going to be that cyborg they're talking about in Revengeance.
He's not. I think it just looks like him. I hope he's not.
Oh, I hope it is now, because I want to be here when they...
Oh,
when
that reminds me, you ass.
What?
This morning, because I'm really excited that Nino Kune's coming out soon, because I ordered the special edition for
it. Hey, I'm excited for it.
Shut
too.
Up, listen. So, after I, like, wake up to tell you about the Nintendo stuff, I'm like, you're, like, asking me when my Nino Kune's coming, and I'm like, oh, I think it's shit, blah, blah, blah. He's like, and then as I'm leaving, you're like, oh, it's getting middling reviews, because you saw one review by 1UP, which was the only, like, negative review out there. I got so mad. I'm like, you shut up. It's getting great reviews. And it is. You know it. Don't you ignore me.
I have...
Take it back. Apologize to me publicly.
All right, I'm sorry.
It's getting great reviews.
I apologized to you earlier today.
It's not good enough.
All right.
It actually is, like, one of the better reviewed JRPGs in a long time.
Well, that's good.
I'm, the one guy, that guy who wrote that 1UP review, I met him at Austin for that Epic Mickey 2 event. And he's actually from Youngstown, Bob Mackey. He was a cool guy. But it seems like his complaint is that it's grindy. Which,
oh, and even in the positive reviews I've read, they say it's grindy.
I like grindy.
Okay. All right. So, in Google Plus, I asked everybody, you know, what they thought about our talk last week with the whole Dead Rising thing and, like, the potential hypocrisy in saying that, you know, video games don't make people violent. But why do we react so strongly to things that are sexualized?
Yeah.
So, Muhammad says that, let's see, people always seem to have something to complain about, whether it's a pressing matter or something absolutely silly. Remember when fanboys went apeshit over Assassin's Creed 1 and Devil May Cry 4 not being PS3 exclusives?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that was like the end of the world?
That's right. Assassin's Creed was going to be a place... Man, it's crazy that that was like back in the world when like that stuff actually would have happened.
I know.
Oh, that's crazy.
So Pete Davidson agrees, says he would write more, but it would make him angry. In particular, he says, I think there's a lot of white, straight, cis male guilt around at the moment, and it's just becoming a whole lot of noise, to be honest. I'm not denying there are problems, but with the few people, always the same people you've probably noticed, who instigate lynch mobs every time a pair of boobs crops up for questionable reasons, there's no room for discussion or debate, only rage. It doesn't achieve anything, and in fact shuts down discussion more than it provokes it. See also the tangentially related nice guy thing, which is also prone to the same problem.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, he's right. It does feel like... I'm not going to name names. But every time this happens...
Well, see, that's the thing. It's like, I almost get afraid to even talk about it sometimes because people get so upset. And,
yeah,
like,
and that's the thing. It's
the
like,
mob comes after you.
It's such, like, strong rage.
Right.
That, yeah, you can't say, it's like, so indignant. Let's look at it... Because as soon as you start to say that, they're like, no, you hate women and rape all the time.
Yeah,
so,
you rape all the time.
So, shut up. Right. You disagree with us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like the point Jeff Grubb brings up. I'll say the torso really creeps me out. It's not that it's sexualized or violent. It's that it's both. It reminds me too much of what a serial killer would keep as a trophy.
I don't know. I don't know much about it. I don't know. I look at that thing. I don't take it very seriously. And I'm usually... I don't watch horror movies at all because that stuff disturbs the shit out of me. But that stupid torso thing, I don't know. Maybe it's just because it reminds me of the video game and maybe I'm more desensitized to video game violence than... movie violence or real violence, but I don't know. It doesn't disturb me.
Yeah,
as sad as it is.
Like I said, it's just.
I mean, that's what the game is. There's torsos all over the fuck. I mean, I just played Metal Gear Rising. I was just cutting people in half, and like, I'll be honest, I don't really like. Ooh,
yeah,
that
but
stuff.
That doesn't mean like you'd even if I said, hey, if you get the Revengeance Special Edition, you get a torso of a cyborg with
a
glowing
makes...
spine coming out.
But see, I would say that wouldn't make sense unless there's a spine, but if you had the spine, I could almost see it, because that's what the game is. I mean, look, I'm playing a game where I'm cutting people in half and stealing
their... I'm
playing a game where I'm cutting people in half and stealing their spines. If I'm not ashamed to play that, I don't know why I need to be so ashamed to have it.
You know what I think the thing is, like, okay, so if I saw, like, the blue glowing spine, I could at least look at it and be like, oh, that's from Metal Gear.
Yeah.
A torso with no arms or head in a bikini.
Look,
I don't look at it and go, oh, Dead Island. It's a torso.
Look, it's definitely stupid, but so is Dead Island. I mean,
right.
It's a stupid promotional product for a stupid game. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
The Cave is getting kind of middling reviews. I just saw that there. That came
7
out
on GameSpot.
I mean, it's not terrible, but yeah, see, that's a middling. Now, what did Ni No Kuni get, AJ? Huh?
I can't see, Mike.
Yeah, it's a 9. Shut up, middling. Shut the hell up.
All right. Releases. The Cave, Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch, DMC for PC, Dawnstar for the PC and Mac, Strike Suit Zero. This game looks neat.
Yeah, I heard about it.
It will not run on my computer.
Not really.
My graphics card's not good enough. Basically, it's like a combination of a space flight sim, but at any time you could turn into a flying mech and shoot guys. Basically, Starscream in space.
Cool.
Yeah. The Sims 3, 70s, 80s, and 90s stuff pack, Mike.
Wow, exciting.
And that's it.
Yeah, it's a pretty good week, actually.
Yeah.
Big week, really. Yeah. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Please check out our Google Plus community.
It's a vibrant one.
I'm sure I'll have a new question up there.
How good is Google Plus all of a sudden?
Yeah, I like the communities. Yeah. Also follow us at Twitter, twitter.com/explodingbarrel, and on Facebook at facebook.com/explodingbarrel. And go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye. Oh, Dead Island!
AJ, I got a lot of problems, man. I mean, my wife left me. Nobody loves me. I got this shit job, and I don't have any audiobooks.
Well, I can help you out with one of those, Michael. How would you like not only an audiobook... but a free audiobook.
Tell me more.
If you go to audibletrial.com/ebpodcast, not only will you get a free audiobook, but a 1-month free trial to audible.com, where they have thousands of audiobooks available to listen to on your computer, iPod, or Android phone.
Wow, and is some of that revenue going to go to Exploding Barrel?
I sure hope so.
Wow, I feel slightly less like I need to kill myself.